Oh God, we praise you, and we thank you for just your life, Lord God, and your resurrection and your spirit, and just the way that right from Adam, Lord God, to Jesus, you loved us so deeply, and you just continue to love us, Lord God, and desire us to have life inside of you, and to have it so abundantly, Lord God. And then you welcome us into and just offer that gift to us too, Lord God, of eternal life, as we choose to just seek you and love you and walk out what you have for us, Lord God, and share in the glory that you have for us and the love that you have for us, Lord God. And so I praise you for that, and I'm so thankful that I get to share in this with you, that we get to share in this with you. So just a big part of kind of the, I guess, last 3 weeks when Kev mentioned about, just jokingly originally of like, oh, you can lead, we're going to leave it open. Actually, I really took that seriously and started really praying about it, and sorry, I'm probably going to be a wreck this morning. really started praying about it, and just that question of, okay, if this is something you want me to share, then what is it? Like, what do you have for us? And even that place of, is this for me to walk this out, or is there that opportunity for someone else to have this chance to, yeah, walk in their gifting and be able to, yeah, just grow in that. And but as I started praying about it, God really just, the one word it was so clear was life. And so for the past 3 weeks, I've been exploring what that word means in scripture and what that means for me. So a lot of this is some of my processing, and but also I know that it wasn't just for me. So the more that I dug into it, and I really think it's for all of us. And so I have no idea really even where to start. But I saw it very much as I was praying about it and meditating on it, it being a conversation, and God just showing me my gifting is not preaching. But conversation is something that He really flows through me, and so to walk that out in that way. So there's going to be a lot of, I feel like there's supposed to be a lot of conversation back and forth between the body, and a lot of, I don't like going into it too much, but a lot of, I think the right word is introspective, like really looking at how we're living our lives and how Christ wants us to live with Him and desires to be with Him, and what that life is supposed to be. So I started out with the word life and tried to make scripture fit to it, and that didn't really work. So I decided to, as I was reading a book from Francis Chan this past 3 weeks, and just on the Holy Spirit, and He just, there's two different ways of going through scripture, and there's one I can't remember the terms, and I wouldn't be able to pronounce them even if I did, so, because they were Greek words, but one is just taking an idea and making scripture fit it, and the other one is allowing scripture to speak into what God's placed on your heart. And so I tried doing the first one, and I had lots of stuff, but I didn't know how to, I couldn't fit scripture into it. I just knew that it was stuff in my own heart. And so as I started praying about it, a lot of it comes from the Gospel of John and just Jesus's love for us and what he shares about his life. And yeah, and so I guess I'll just kind of start in there. The one main question that was running through my mind and was, how are we living our lives? Are we living in the way that the Holy Spirit is able to lead? And are we wanting to actually be led by the Spirit? Actually gonna jump over somewhere else. I think I'm supposed to start with so in John 3:16, I think most of us know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish. This past week I read that, and usually I just read through it and I because I know it and that. But I just encourage each one of us to actually stop and sit and meditate on that fact. And just, yeah, it really hit me. Like, God so loved us that he sent his one and only Son to die for us. Then the fact of God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, are one and the same. And God so loved the world that he sent himself to die for us. And I started to think of life and how I became a Christian and the work that Christ has done in me. And that the life that I have in him now. And it's just this, after reading that and sitting on that, like, the desire that I have in my heart to want to walk in that fully and to give him everything that I possibly can. And it's just, sorry, I might have to stop a lot and go around, but yeah, and just, I'm sorry, like I said, this is not my strong suit, and I don't know how to get this out, but, yeah, just that life that Christ desires for us is so much, and so often I think we stop and we, like, he wants to give it to us so abundantly. And just reading through John, I gotta read some scripture. So John, where do I even start? I guess I'll just start at the John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And just that place of, yeah, that he wants to shine through us. Oh Lord, please give me strength. Life is knowing God and having a relationship and communion with him and just abiding in his presence and I'm sorry, I can't put a thought together if my life depended on it right now. There's just so much going on through my head, I don't know how to get it out, and notes really are just confusing me. As I've been reading, yeah, that the word life has really been popping out throughout scripture and throughout everything that I read. My desire is for to be able to today to encourage you about that life and how much of it he offers us and how much he desires us to live with him and through him. And there are so many different thoughts that have gone through my mind that, yeah, I can't place them right now, but I know that his heart for us is to have life so abundantly. When Jesus was feeding the 5,000 in John, just says that Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed them to the who were seated, and as they wanted, and as much as they wanted, he did the same with the fish. And when they had eaten all, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, and let nothing go to waste." So they gathered them, and they filled 12 baskets with pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those that who had eaten. And as I read this past week, just a part of it really jumped out. And it was, God gives to us so abundantly. We are the ones that choose, whose choices take more or less of what God has offered us. And right from that very beginning where he welcomes us into life with, like he wants to eat so us to eat so much of him and to just walk in that place of the Spirit so much with him that each moment in our lives and each moment we should be desiring that love for Christ. And yeah, and so I just, just reading through John 6 and that, it just continued to just that just to be poured out with us. And I'm sorry, I'm so nervous. Please. Is it the bottom button?
The bottom one is.
Hello? That's better. As Josh has been kind of explaining this to me, and when he was sharing about the loaves, that, yeah, Jesus broke the loaves and he passed them out, and then there was extra. And just the whole, even talking about bread, like, Jesus brings up bread so often, and nothing is done by accident. And so it reminded me of the manna with the Israelites, and how God provided manna for them, this beautiful bread from heaven, and how that's Jesus, and yet the Israelites got sick of it and they wanted something else. And yeah, I think I talked about this on Thursday, but how I totally understand now I am an Israelite. And as much as it's easy to be like, how could they do that? What? Like, they had the cloud above them, the pillar of fire by night. How could they not see that that was God? And yet I see that in my own life. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and yet we still are Israelites. And yeah, this bread from heaven that he provides for us is such a beautiful gift, and to see it for what it is, and to walk in the Spirit more and more, it is such a beautiful gift, and I know I take it for granted. And I have been praying that God would open my eyes to see the fullness of what this gift that he has given us, the gift of Jesus on the cross, the gift of the Holy Spirit after Jesus went up again, the gift of this bread is just an amazing thing.
And even with that, just like the thing that stuck out to me as well as Candace was sharing about the manna, like it was so sweet and it tastes like honey. And it's just this place of, like, I want that sweetness in my life. I want that for all of us. And I want to be able to, and the one question that came to me this past week was how can I encourage us to walk that out? And even the fact is it my place to? And as I kind of meditated on that, I still don't know if it is that place, but yeah, I was hoping that this would be, I want to encourage you guys.
As we, one thing God has been teaching me in the last while is, like, we've often talked about meditating on the word and partaking of it, and not just glossing through it or just and there are parts of our lives where we just read scripture because that also infiltrates our mind and our spirit and for memories of recall and stuff like that. But there's that whole idea of unpacking and just looking at a verse or an account and just really meditating on that and chewing on that and allowing the Spirit to work that into our lives so that it becomes part of who we are rather than just part of what we know. And so even just combining the manna idea and the loaves and the fishes, if you really begin to look at that, and one thing I never, it doesn't really talk about in that, so they gathered up all this extra, but it doesn't really expand on that beyond that. But everybody there had a choice to make, even with the result of the loaves and the fishes. Like, do I really look into that and understand what God has just done? Or do I just walk away from it and leave it there And so that's part of, do we really want to eat that life? Do we really want to eat that manna? Did the Israelites, I'm sure for the first few days, they were like, wow, this is amazing. But at some point, essentially, they just walked away from it because they started grumbling about it down the road. Like, this isn't good. This isn't good enough, or we want more type of thing. And so to allow yourself to be to allow yourself to be amazed at the life that is in that account or in that experience that you went through, and to let it absorb into you. And Josh, I love what you're doing, and you're being very vulnerable. I know you've got things just pouring through your mind and what God has laid on your heart, but how to express them is something that many of us struggle with. You're talking to two preachers who aren't really, that's not our gift. And we've had great conversation, you know, one-on-one and stuff, and I know that's where your heart of God is. And so how to bring that across to not only this body here, but as we go out into the world and as we visit with family and friends and believers and unbelievers alike, how to impress on them. I'm not sure that that's the right word, because we're not called to change lives. We're called to present something and allow the Spirit to move, because He's the one that does the work. But oh Lord, I want that so badly, and I know Josh does as well, to see the life that is in the blood and to see the life that is in the Word, and to encourage others as well to walk that out or to see that and to live that out. But when you brought up the passage of the bread and the fish, I would have loved to have been a reporter then and go around interviewing people who were there. Okay, what did you think about that? And, you know, did you notice that there was more bread left over than there was to begin with? Like, isn't that a miracle? And what do you do with that? And what do you take out of that? And that's the choice that God allows us to make, what we take out of that. Do we then dive in to that life that is there, or do we just, like many did, and certainly the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, they just walked away from it and discounted it. And in fact, more than discounted it, they disowned it and said, no, that's, you know, we can't allow that to happen. And, you know, I know we talked about this a little while ago, but when Jesus raised Lazarus, like, the Pharisees were there and they knew it, they saw it. So what was their response? Well, we got to kill Lazarus now too, not just Jesus, because, you know, he's proof pudding that what Jesus did was a miracle. So we're not gonna look to the life that's in it. We're going to specifically turn away from it and get rid of both of them, because we can't allow this to happen. So, how do we encourage the life that we see in Scripture in our own lives, but also for others, is huge.
The one thing that just had me awestruck this past week, and that is, and a passage that I've read so many times, is, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the fact of, like we can do nothing without God, and He's the one that draws us in, and the blessing that we get to share in, because He's called us to Him. And then accepting that, we are now children of God. Like, it just, I stopped and I thought about that, and it blows your mind. Like, He honors us so much by drawing us to Him, and then nothing can be done except through Him. And then we get to share an everlasting life with Him as we choose to believe in Him. And it's just amazing. Like, and yet, I, at times, so often, I forget that. I forget that He honored us with, or honored me with, drawing Him to Himself. And now I get to share in this with Him in this life. And yet, I choose only to take this small little portion of what He has for us and try to fit God into my life instead of
allowing everything else to have to find that place in my life. Like, I think of Candace and my relationship, and God so much uses marriage throughout the Bible, and Kev's shared about that so often. But I don't have to find time to fit Candace in my life. Ever since we started dating, in me and who I am, like, it's not a challenge to find time to fit Candace into my life. Everything else has to find a place. So why isn't it that way with God? Like, he's blessed us with this amazing gift. First off, like, life itself. He knit me together in my mother's womb and breathed life into my nostrils. And yet, I have to find time to place him into my life. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, if you actually sit on that, and as I dwell on that, like, it's a little messed up. Like, he should have everything, and I should be fitting everything else into life with him. And walking as the same way that I walk with Candace, where each day is, yeah, just loving on one another and allowing everything else that we have for the day and for our lives to fit into the life that we have together. And stopping to actually realize that fact. Oh Lord, I'm so sorry. Like, the reality of that is so... I can't believe it, like... And so how do we walk in that? Like, how do we... Like, how do I grow in the fact that his lifeblood is flowing through me now because of the choice of him ushering me into his presence and me choosing to accept it. And even at times as I've been reading, like, I think of, oh, it'd be so amazing to be in Jesus' day and actually walk with him. And yet another verse was that he's going to send a counselor that'll be even better for us. And it's like, and yet I grow up like the Israelites, I grumble at the fact that I wish I could hear you clearly, and yet each and every single moment, 24/7, 365 days a year, he's walking and sharing life with me. And yet there's still that place of, I only fit this much time into my week, or like, does my life truly reflect the relationship that I have with Christ? And so, yeah, this, as I've been processing and that, like, it has been introspective, and it's been great, and it's been, so I encourage you to just read some of these passages that we know, that we can spout off, like, and know in our hearts so quickly, and yet we just blow through them, like, and just realize, like, that choice that we have to walk with him, like, and each and every second, he's right there. And we just have to turn and face him. And so I just, next however long or as you're processing today, like, I don't want this to be a whoa kind of thing that wasn't in my heart. Like, it's really this awestruck amazement of, like, the honor that God gives us to walk with him. And in my heart, it encourages me and pushes me to the place of, how can I live each and every single day? Even while I sleep, how can I walk with him and set my mind on him always? Because really, that's all he wants. He just wants that relationship to live with us and to manifest through us. And it just, I think of the passages where, yeah, the master gives, or the king gives the servants each a portion of talents, and like that place of, like, when we start growing in these little things, like, and start welcoming him in and keeping our eyes focused on him, He does. He gives us more. And there's this place to, such a strong place to go deeper and grow so much more with Christ. And so I just, there is no life outside of Christ. And there is no life apart from God. And so how can we, as individuals, as a body, as, like, reflect that life in each and every day, whether it's, I keep coming back to it, and it's just, I think it's because it was such an amazing picture that I had. I read a book by Rick Joyner, and I think some of us have read it, like The Final Quest, and the one testimony that's in there, and, or just picture that he has for us is, like, the portion that we get each and every day, like, as we accept to choose that portion of the fruit that he's wanting to grow inside of us, like, this homeless man on the side of the street is, in the vision is, he's so close to the front of the throne room of God, and yet nobody knows who he is, and except for Jesus. And it was just this place of, like, at one day he chose not to kick a cat, and he brushed the cat away instead of kicking the cat. And that was his portion of love for that day. A little while later, he continues to grow, and as he grows, it was just these little portions, but everything that God gave him, he poured out on others and chose to accept to give that life. To the point where he gives his only coat to a fellow homeless man, and he actually ends up freezing to death and dying. But in the book, like, as he explains it, as Rick is walking with Jesus, it's just this place that they turn to each other, and it was like that itself was, he was a martyr for Christ because he gave everything that God gave him for Christ, and his life was constantly this testimony. He wasn't perfect, but everything God gave him, he gave back. And so, yeah, I want to be able to walk with that and walk in that way, that, yeah, we can use every portion that God gives us to invest in his kingdom. If you go by the way that the talents were laid out, like, when you're faithful with little, he'll give us so much more. And it's just so beautiful. Like, and I just want to continue to grow. And I challenge us to grow with him and to be looking for those little things and areas in our lives where, whether it's as small as brushing a cat off instead of kicking him and showing love that way, to the place where we give our lives for Christ. In God's eyes, we've used everything that he's given us. And that is everything that he wants for us, is to give that and walk with him in everything that he gives us. Another thing that just amazed me as I was reading is the fruit of the Spirit and what that means for our lives. Like, as we walk in that fruit, our lives and our life in Christ just continues to grow, and we're able to just be that reflection. And I always thought of it as the fruit of the Spirit is each individual piece. But if you read scripture, it only says the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's all tied in to that one Spirit. Like, we should always be walking in faith, joy, love, peace, perseverance, gentleness, kindness. Like, that is all the character of God. And I think there is portions that we as believers, and each one of us grow or walk in more than others. But, like, we are to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And so each day, walking more and more and growing towards Christ in that place of resembling that fruit more and more. And so if our lives aren't reflecting those fruits, then I just encourage you to pray about it. And even if it's going to be, okay, so back to the movie that I was sharing with Lil that we just watched. It's a faith-based movie, and not everything in it obviously is, but another aspect of it that really hit me was the harder we, like, not the harder that we work, but the more that we walk in those gifts, like, it's not going to be easy. Like, and Jesus never tells us that our walk with him is going to be easy. Like, we're always going to suffer, and but what we do with that and how we walk that out and how we choose to respond to those trials and to, yeah, different situations that God puts us in, like, are we going to allow him to grow us, and are we going to continue to choose to look and fix our eyes on the things of Christ, or turn and look to the flesh? And I just think of, like, the other image that's coming to my mind is how diamonds are made, and it's not without extreme pressure, and, like, before a rock is beautiful. So not to turn away from the challenging things and just leave it at that, like, for us to each be seeking and wanting to grow, we need to be aware of the reality of it's not always going to be easy. There's going to be situations where we're going to be able to, God's just going to go, and I believe that. Like, I truly believe that there will be those times where it'll just be given to us. But there's a lot more of the times where, like, and I love patience is long suffering, is one of the translations. And it's like, when I realize that, it's like, okay, I wonder what the other gifts are. Like, if there's another name for them, I'm not saying that there are, but, like, if it can be translating to long suffering, to grow patience, and to be able to walk in patience, like, and so often we just ask for patience and think it's just going to be, there it is. But as we suffer through it, and as we long to grow in Christ, like, and choose the things of Christ, like, he blesses us with that patience. And I think it's so much, it's beautiful. Like, that journey of walking is so beautiful. And so that life with Christ is just, there's that place of asking and continuing to seek in perseverance, and to continually turning our eyes and looking to Christ. And so one of the questions that also struck me as, and that I was challenged with this past week as I was reading, was, like, are we willing to change our entire lives to, not saying that he's going to call you to that, but are we willing to, like, have we thought about that? Like, that he could tell us, like, are we willing to change jobs or careers? Are we willing to sell the farm? Are we willing to even, and my challenge this week was, am I willing to, and it's not saying that he's putting me down this road, but am I willing to sell a house that I know God's placed us in? Like, with even the smallest voice of, I want you to do this. And I struggle with that because I know without a doubt that God placed me there. And I know he'll walk that out. But is where I'm living or the job that he's placed me in, which I know that he's placed me there too, am I willing to give that up knowing and go somewhere else where, yeah, maybe it's not a Christian-based company or whatever else? Like, who knows where. But are we willing to allow him to lead? And so it's all, like, everything inside of Christ is life. So the other reality is, like, I don't want to walk in death. I don't want to walk in sin. And I want to choose life and have it to the fullness of what he desires us to have. Yeah, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Like, he died for us so that we could have life. So I encourage you to, I don't know, like, have a hard time. Like, I just encourage you to walk these things out and to not just brush this off as a challenging message, or and not to dwell on it either, but to allow it to challenge your heart as you pray. And yeah, do we really want life inside of Christ? And one of the other things was, as I was reading the book, and it was very humbling and to the place of like the realization of, so he, Francis asked somebody in his church, like, do you not want the baptism of the Holy Spirit or more of the Spirit? And the man honestly answered, if I start asking for more and desiring more, I'll be held accountable. And so I don't want to pray those prayers. And it was in me. It was so often I pray that prayer of, yeah, I want this, and I would love to walk in this more, but I'm not willing to give this up or this up. Or can I honestly pray that prayer of, Holy Spirit, move through me and flush these things out? And I, as of right now, I want to declare that. I hope, like, I want that. I want that no matter what it takes. And I want to be able to, and I think all of our elders and pastors, like, we want to be able to walk alongside of you guys with that and to share in that with you and to really be praying for you as you desire these things, because that's life. And it's Christ. It's who we're supposed to be in Christ. Like, take up our cross daily and die to the flesh so that we can have life in the Spirit and have it abundantly. And so, yeah, I encourage you to please pray. Like, as these things come into your heart, and if you are desiring these things, like, we would love to pray with you and to walk this thing out, these things out with you, and just be able to encourage you when we can. And yeah, but no, too, like, there's also a place of, it's not an easy road, and it is a choice. And so we can only encourage you so much. It's an individual walk, but we can stand for each other, and we can live as family the way that Christ desired us to be family, and to encourage and to come up alongside, and like, we have his lifeblood running through us.
Yeah, just like Josh said, as we get together as elders and stuff, like, we are so encouraged by the growth that we see God is causing in each of your lives. It's fun to watch. And as we continue to pray for and with you guys, it's been an amazing journey as we see. And I'm going to pick on Kelsey. Sorry, Kels. You're up. No, I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day, and your name came up, and it was not somebody from within the church, but just somebody from within the community. And it was just like, we're both just saying, like, wow, the work that God has done in your life, it's awesome, it's amazing, and in you, Emily, and as you are growing a family and stuff, it's fun to watch, and that's just one example of, I mean, we could share with about each of you. but it's what we have seen is, and I'll use two phrases that Josh mentioned. One was, are we willing? And the other one is, there is no life without Christ. There is no true life without Christ. I know the world talks about life and you know, we chase after things because that's going to bring enjoyment and life and stuff like that. But there is such a connection between those two phrases. And it's, I know, many times if you listen to a testimony of a young person or something, or somebody who's come to Christ and has been walking it out, and it comes up and it has come up in a lot of baptismal testimonies that I've heard, like, well, their faith became their own. You know, they've been Christian for years, but it was the faith of their parents, or, you know, they just went to church because their family did and stuff like that. But at some point, Christ got a hold of them and their faith became their own. And I think that's that point where that recognition of there is no life without Christ. Till then, it's just a religion or just part of our upbringing and that kind of stuff. And so, are we willing? But that's a daily choice. Mm-hmm. That's not a one-time commitment. That's a daily thing. And that's where, I think that's where, you know, Josh, you're encouraging each of us to continue down that road. Marry those two statements together. Are we willing? Because we recognize that there is no life without Christ. And that's in every aspect of our lives, what we place as priorities or idols or gods or, you know, whatever words you want to use there. But Christ has to become the priority in everything.
Yeah, I know this has definitely been, you know, speaking to me and, you know, just sort of similar in some of the things, you know, recently for me, you know, I've definitely been, there has been a prayer I've been having for, you know, last while, you know, and to sort of been, yeah, reveal that, Lord, I want to know the reality of the situation, you know, and not just, you know it in the head, you know, but, you know, just down to the core, you know, have that reality, you know, just known, you know, about just, again, yeah, you can go through the story of, you know, we're back in the garden, right, and God gives us everything good. He gives us everything. And then we turn away and we choose the one thing we shouldn't have, the one thing that hurts us, that harms us. We turn away from God, who is the good. And yeah, we go after bad things and sinful things, things that are harmful even to us, you know, and it's like we spit in God's face like that. And then even there where God had every right just to say, okay, you know, you guys have done this, you've separated yourselves. But then God decides out of his love, you know, to, again, the cross, right? He went through suffering, which us as humans can't even go through, you know? It's just, and it just going through the wildness of that, you know? And it's like, we can say it and we know it. Oh, it's Easter time. Oh, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. But it's like, do we, again, just that deep into the core know that, you know? And it's like, Jesus being, you know, yeah, being the life, you know, and we want him in us, you know? And it's, sin isn't of Jesus, you know, there's no sin in him. And I know I've had it where times, you know, you're doing something wrong or whatnot, and it's just, you're sort of like, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. And it's like, oh, what about God, or what does he think? And you have to sort of push him aside, you know, you can't have him, you push him out of your mind like that, you know, and it's just, God can't be present there, you know, and it's having Jesus in you and having just the Holy Spirit in you, you know, it's like, if that's there, you can't, like, evil can't be around him, you know, and even you yourself, if with him in you, you can't do things wrong with him there, you know. And it's just, yeah, it's definitely been speaking to me, you know, so.
I was doing some devotions the other day, and a chapter in, I had underlined some stuff in this particular chapter, so I'm just going to read it. So it's Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So that's, for me, that's just that. Yeah, getting distracted and then, yeah, but God, you're it. Like, you are, you hold the path of righteousness and you have the life. And, yeah, so just redirecting again and God always drawing me back in and, okay, remember, this is where the life is, and it's not anywhere else. So that's helpful. Good.
Just feel like I'm supposed to just ask, is there anybody else that has anything that they wanted to share or add or
we are new here, but I am very blessed by what I'm hearing this morning. And the verse that keeps coming back to me this morning based on what you have said and all of us have enjoyed hearing each other say is comes out of the book of First Kings, and it really describes what happens to us when we do what we have been talking about here this morning. And there God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have good success, and then thou shalt be prosperous. So there's definitely a big reward that the world doesn't know about, that we know about because we know God's word.
Yeah.
And so I want to commend you for sharing this morning, and it's been a blessing to me. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. Jesus, I thank you for this morning, Lord God, and just the words and life, Lord God, that is in you. I pray for us, Jesus, that as we go and as we continue to walk this life and this road with you, that we would just be able to walk in just that perfect communion with you, Lord God, and that our eyes would just be so fixed on you, that we would just experience, Lord God, life with you, and that would just manifest so strongly inside of us, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, that blessing of life, that blessing of you inside of us, and that blessing of your Holy Spirit will just rest and fall on each one of us. right now, Lord God, and just continue to speak and minister to us, Lord God. I pray that our ears and our eyes would be tuned to you and to what your word says, Lord God, and what your spirit is saying inside of us, Lord God. May we just be so aware of that still, quiet voice inside of us, Lord God, that you speak to us in so often, Lord God. And may we recognize the way that you speak to each one of us through your word and through life with you. May we be able to stop and just be awestruck by you, Lord God, as we read a passage that maybe we've never seen like that, Lord God, before. And that those revelations and those truths, Lord God, would just be manifest on our hearts, and that we would be able to store them and just rest on them, Lord God. So I just pray, Lord God, just your presence and your spirit to just manifest inside of us, Lord God, as we keep our eyes focused on you and fixed on you. I pray that you would just reveal those things to our hearts, Lord God, that we hold on to too tightly. That we would be able to just fit everything into you, Lord God. And that you would be our first love. And that we would just constantly choose to walk in that, Lord God, and to be in love with you, Lord God. Because you chose to love us first so deeply and so passionately that you came down and you died for us to give us life. And that we could just enter into your presence each and every day. So we love you, and we desire more of you. And more of your spirit to work in and through our lives, Lord God. May we be faithful with what you are giving us each and every day. And I just praise you for that opportunity, Jesus. I just pray that in your name. So yeah, I just want to make sure everybody knows, like, with this and like that opportunity, like, we would love to pray with you guys and to be able to pray alongside, even if it's just something that each day that you're going through, like, whether it's a phone call or a text or an email or like. Yeah, to allow us to walk in what God's placed us in, to help you guys grow, to help us grow in that leading and in our prayer lives. And so I just want to make sure that you guys know that opportunity, it's never that place of, oh, well, I shouldn't bother him with this. Like, please. Like, allow us to walk with you in this. Because we can't pray those things if we don't know. Unless the Spirit reveals it to us, but yeah. So just know that invitation and that desire to walk this out is, I can probably say without a doubt, for each one of us, we would love to be able to do that. And please, even if there's questions and stuff like that about this morning or I know Kev would say the same thing. Any questions about any of his teachings, like, please, like, email or call, or let's get together and let's talk it through. And if we don't know the answers, then I'd love to be able to find them out and discover them with you. So, yeah, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that that option and that is open, and it's always open. So,
praise God.